I'll be reading from James chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. That's James chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, and it reads, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." That's James chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. Thank you.
Let's all be standing for singing all three stanzas of Heavenly Sunlight. Walking in sunlight all of my journey over the mountain through the deep vale. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise divine that never can fail. Oh, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah. I am rejoicing, singing his praises. Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never concealed my Savior and God. He is the light, in him is no darkness. Ever I'm walking close to his side. Oh, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises. Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above. Singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Oh, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is
Proverbs chapter 22, verses 5 through 6. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to say good morning. And whether you remember this Franklin family, or visitor, or a virtual guest, I'm grateful that you're here today. I'm grateful that God has brought us together for yet another opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among those of us who be the saints of God. I shortly opened my Bible to a number of scriptures, none in particular, but my invitation is for you to join me there as we flip through these scriptures. Will be on the board, it'll be on the screen, and they will serve as a context for today's lesson entitled Time to Decide. Time to Decide. And I want to say before I start the lesson that there are a lot of things that are going on in our lives today, as well as this past week. You know, a lot of people have been hospitalized, some for emergencies and some for mental health issues. Some have called and some have physical issues with their members of their body. And prayer is a wonderful thing. Prayer is something that should be a premium for all of us in our lives. No matter what it is we go through, we all go through the same thing. We certainly walk the same ground, and we we bear the same burden sometimes, even though at different times. So what I'm asking for the congregation to do is pray for those people that have fallen on those hard times in their lives this past week, as well as today. You made me know somebody that's suffering today. Prayer is a wonderful thing for mental and physical ailments as well. We need to pray as well for those people who are suffering spiritually, because there are a lot of those out there as well. So thank you so much for allowing us to be in a position to pray for those that are having problems in their lives. All right, that's it for the roster. Now we can focus our hearts and minds on serving God. Now, some of you have heard hundreds and hundreds of sermons over the years, and many of those sermons have been at church, and for some of you have heard one sermon a week over the past dozen years in your school life. Today is the day that we acknowledge our graduates from college and from high school and from elementary, and just those of us who are graduating. I want to tell you that it's answered prayer for most, and certainly a day to look forward to for some. But nevertheless, it's a season of milestones for many of you. I mean, you've been through final papers and final exams. You've been through your last prep game that you'll ever play, the last meeting that you'll ever have at school, and the last classes that you'll ever have. And it's a pivotal point in your life, because you'll always refer back to these days, graduating from high school and college, and it'll be something that'll be ingrained in your mind and probably will help you in your life to come. You worked hard, and so have your parents. We don't want to discredit them as well. You work hard to get to this point, and you're probably working harder for what's coming next in your life. You're making preparations for all that lies ahead. And after filling out all those forms and sending all those applications, after narrowing down your choices and making your decision, you finally decide where it is you're going to go. But the question is, what did you really decide? What were all those decisions all about? For many of you, you decided to go to college and some are university. Some have decided neither. But those who've decided to go to college or university, you'll get ready for the summer. You're going to buy some dorm furniture, and you're going to say goodbye to some of your friends, and you're going to say goodbye to your parents as well. And then you'll find your way around a new school or engage in a brand new endeavor. In a few months, most of you are going to find yourself somewhere else besides home. In a few months, most of you are going to find yourself somewhere else besides home. And I guess at this point in your life, you're probably tired of making those decisions, but you're inundated with decisions coming from every which way. But I want to remind you of one colossal decision that's coming your way. You can't avoid it. It's coming to you. And this is a decision that might not be earth-shattering to you at all, but in fact, it seems less important than 100 other decisions that you've had to make over the last past year to prepare for your departure. This decision is much more than an afterthought for most graduating seniors, and it may be you've not even considered the idea as of yet. Let's fast forward a few months from now. You're living on your own. You're in a dorm or an apartment somewhere. You've unloaded all of your stuff. It's just stuff. You've met your roommate. You've signed up for classes, and you've had a few meals in that cafeteria. You've endured all those days of beneficial and boring orientation activities. We all had to go through that, right? But after a short night of sleep on your first Saturday in this new phase of your life, you wake up Sunday morning, and what are you going to do? It's time to decide. It's time to make a decision. It's Sunday morning, the first Sunday morning away from home. And this is what I want to talk to you about. So I want you to listen carefully. I want to I want you to listen to what I have to say to you this morning. Of all the decisions you'll face this year, the most important one may be whether you get up and go to church your very first Sunday morning. That's an important decision for everybody to make in their lives, whether it's your first Sunday after graduation from high school or college or whatever. It's Sunday morning, and you've got a decision that you've got to make. For some that's graduated and been living their lives for a long time, it's deciding whether they're going to clean their house, cook, or go fishing. Clean your house cooking or go golfing. Clean your house cooking or you fill it in. It's time to decide. It's Sunday morning. It's the Lord's Day. And no one else is here to make sure you do what you've committed to God that you said you were going to do. No one is there to push you on now. You're a big boy now. You're a big girl now. You've got to decide. It's time for you to decide. And I know this is what you expect me to say to you as the minister. Be sure to go to church, young man. Oh, don't sleep on Sunday morning, young lady. You got to get up and go. Let's get to church. But then you'll say to me, well, you know what, Brother Collins, I'm not against going to church because my relationship with Jesus Christ is a really important thing. I still read my Bible, and I'm going to read it even if I don't make it to church. You know, some of you may be going to a Christian college, and you'll have chapel services, and you'll have Christian roommates, and you have chaplains that they want to meet with you. You have friends that are ungodly and friends that are nice and friends that are not so nice. You're going to meet a whole lot of people. Or you'll be at a school with Christian Fellowship Club, Crusaders for Christ. Or you'll be at a campus where there is Reform University Fellowship. It's pretty much Presbyterian in nature. Or you'll be going to the campus outreach, and all that's great. Praise God for campus ministries. Praise God for Christian colleges who tip their hats towards God. But it's Sunday morning. You've slept all Saturday night. Maybe you have, maybe. But it's Sunday morning and your chapel is not the church. You need to know that. It's Sunday morning and your Crusade for Christ meeting is not the church. It's Sunday morning and your Reform University Fellowship with other people who are not Christians is not the church. Your dorm Bible study is not. You with me this morning? We graduated from high school. We're in college. It's our first Sunday. It's the first Lord's Day away from home. We feeling free and at liberty to do whatever it is that we want to do. It's time to decide. Time to make a decision. Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He never promised to build a Christian college. It's not the church. He never promised to build a Christian day school. It's not the church. Jesus never promised to build a campus ministry. There's only one institution on earth that Jesus Christ promised to build, and it's the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which he purchased with his own blood. Found in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, it is the church that he purchased with his own blood. It's fine if you want to go and participate in all these things, but know one thing. It's not the church. It's not the church. And if you want to be into what Jesus is into, if you want to be called of God, the ecclesia, you've got to get to the church. And what I'm going to tell you is, young man, young lady, what I'm going to tell you, it's time to decide that before you leave home so you know what you're going to do on that first Sunday morning. It's time to decide that right now. Nobody will be there urging you or pushing you there. There's some mothers might call you on the phone. You getting up and going to church this morning? And some of the kids might say, yeah, I'm going, and just lay right there. You know how old. Decide before that first Sunday what you're going to do concerning worship to God. Because you've been making a whole lot of plans this summer. And one of the most important decisions you will ever make is what you will be committed to the first week or those first 4 months that's foundational to your Christian life. You will never forget it. Trust me, you'll never forget it. Question is, will you get up and go to church? Not to the chapel. Understand, not to the chapel. Not following your friends to the campus ministry, but a local body of Christ. And I'm going to tell you something, parents. For these kids, they have a foundation of going to church. You need to get up and go with them wherever they're going and find the church that they need to go to. Find one. Don't call them up later on and say, you know, I went to this church and there's whooping and hollering, there's jumping all over. It's your responsibility as a Christian parent to make sure that that foundation of serving God continues in their lives. There's a lot out there for them. The world is waiting for them. There are things that they're going to find that's closest to the truth, but it's not the truth of God at all. There's a lot of deception out there. And the world will suck you in. It'll suck them in. They're just getting out, just leaving the nest. And we celebrate an empty nest, but they're going to come back. Don't just go to the chapel. Don't just go to the campus ministry, but go to a local body of Christ. And what you're going to find is everybody there, they're not all your age. What you need to find is go to a place where the music is scriptural and where the minister, even though he might not be everything you want him to be, but the fellowship is filled with the presence of God. This is the time of year when everybody's excited and sometimes even distracted because graduation notices, they start coming in the mail and graduation parties are being hosted everywhere and graduation pictures are flooding the social media and graduates start to move on with their lives to bigger and better things. And it's a wonderful, wonderful time to celebrate that. So I want to tell you right up front, congratulations to all of the graduates out there, every last one of you, congratulations. But I want you to understand the definition of the word graduate is the concept of completing or finishing something. So when you finish school, you walk away from it. And you walk away often with great celebration. Graduates. Listen, while you finish some things and while you're walking away from some things, please don't just make it final. Don't be complete. Don't finish. Don't walk away and graduate from those things that are of eternal worth. My plea to you is today is really the very antithesis of what it is you're doing in your life right now. My plea to you is to don't graduate. Please don't graduate. Because there's a lot of people who have went into that didactic endeavor, and later on in their lives, you find them graduating from the college of the streets is what it said. Don't graduate from that college. Don't be sucked up by the world. The truth of the matter is this. In John 8:32, he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall. Yeah, it's going to make you free. It's going to set you free. A lot of people, when they leave their parents' homes, they think they're just so free. And they're leaving with a lie because you're really not free. It's only in Christ that you're going to be set free. So my contention is today for you is don't graduate from God's truth. There'll be some of you who are going to find their own truth. You're going to find some friends who have their own truths. There's only one objective truth that's given to us by God, and that truth will set us free and chart our course to heaven. That's the goal for us. So I want to ask you today, don't graduate from God's truth. Proverbs 23:23 says, you buy the truth and sell it not. Wisdom and instruction as well. Buy it. I want to ask you today to don't graduate from your faith. There are a lot of people who live their lives and they're not faithful to God anymore at all. Don't start out that way because it'll be hard for you to get back. You're going to be challenged. Everybody's got to have issues in their lives. They're going to be people you're going to meet in authority. They're going to be people who think that they're smarter than God. They're going to be out there. Yeah. But you just believe in God and believe in the Christ and the word that God has given us. Don't worry about them. Don't do it. Because you've got evidence that will back you up and give you a foundation that is indestructible. Romans 1:20 says, since the creation of the world, the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen and they're understood by the things that are made. We talk about the eternal power and Godhead that men are without excuse when it says that they don't even understand who God is. Don't let them tell you that. You're without excuse. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, Christ presented himself alive after suffering many infallible proofs. I'm talking about a foundation that you can stand on. He was seen by men for 40 days and spoke of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You can hold on to that. Don't believe them. Hebrews 3:4 says, for every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Need to hold on to that. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by things which are visible. What a foundation we have that we live for an unseen God. We live for a God that lives within us, a God that came and died for us. What a foundation of faith that we have. Don't graduate from your faith. Don't graduate from the church, because there are going to be some people, maybe even fellow Christians, they're going to try to convince you that the church is optional. There are people that believe that even now. The COVID has made church optional for a whole lot of people. All right. And some might even think it's okay. And some might even tell you that you're even better off without it. Don't believe them for a second. They are wrong. You need the church. And most importantly, the church needs you. Did you understand that? You're going to say, how can the church need me? I'm just so young. The church needs you because you comprise the whole body of God, joined and knit together by every joint that he supplies. Matthew 6:33 says what? You seek first. You seek first the kingdom of heaven and all his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. I don't know what it is that you want. But I imagine that all of us want success in some way. If you want it, seek the kingdom. And he'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. The church needs you because you will cause the church to grow as the body of Christ, edifying itself in love, Ephesians 4:16. You need the church and the church needs you, Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another that we might stir each other up towards love and good works. Do not graduate from the church. A lot of folks, look around, have walked away from the church. You just can't get that street mentality out of them. They're not truly converted to God. That's why you find them out in the world. You don't be that guy. Don't be that person. Here's what I want to ask you this morning. Don't you dare graduate from godly living. What I'm talking about? There's going to be nobody. Fraternity parties. Amen. Weekend parties. Weekday parties. Parties before you got to take your tests. Parties after the test. What? Listen, I want to ask you, don't graduate. Don't graduate from godly living, because it's out there for you, right? It's time to decide right now that you're not going to live the way that you want to live, that you're going to live godly. And there's some are going to approach you and say, oh, go ahead and go for it. Turn up. You only live once. You do you. Some folks are going to try to convince you to believe that. But the truth of the matter is, the very best life that you can live on this earth is the faithful Christian life. Yes, it is. And somebody's going to, once you decide to make a decision that's not a good one, and you repent of those sins and you come back, somebody's going to say to you, well, you know, weren't you young one time? Sure I was. And I made those mistakes too, so that's why we're talking to you, so you don't make them. Am I right? You don't have to make them. You may, but you don't have to. Because the very best life that you can live on this earth is the life of a faithful Christian. Don't think that just because you left from your parents' home that you're free. You're still a Christian. And Paul to the church at Galatia, you've been called to liberty. Don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. We're talking about living godly, spiritual lives. Don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but love and serve one another. A fulfilled life is a blessed life. A fulfilled life is living the godly life, and it's better than any other life you can ever think or imagine. Look back at your life before you became a Christian. Think about it. We only receive spiritual blessings in Christ. Ungodly, the ones that are on the outside don't receive that. It's a wonderful blessing. Ephesians 1 and 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." Those on the outside don't receive that. This is a spiritual thing, not fleshly. John 13, 17 says, "If you know these things, then blessed are you if you do them." John 10:10, he says, "Look, I'm coming to give you life, and that you might have life more abundantly." You're going to leave home, and Satan is going to convince you, now it's time to live. You can live now because you're out of your parents' house. Well, you weren't living before. I mean, that's the kind of life I want. If I could still live with my mom and not have to work, not have to buy her groceries, not have to cook, that's living the life. Am I right? Not have to pay no bills. But you can't know that because you never experienced that yet. I think every adult in here would tell you that, look, I don't want to live paying no more bills. Give me my life for free. Jesus came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Don't graduate. Do not graduate, listen to me, from godly living. Don't do it. Let me implore you as well to not graduate from Jesus. Some people will tell you on that college campus, again, because they think they're smarter than God. They'll tell you that you can't see him, so he must not be real. He's more than real. Jesus is more than real, and you know that. You know better than that. Jesus is your friend and has been your friend. And you are his friend if you do whatever he commands you to do, John 15, 14. You're friends with God. He is your Savior. 1 John 4:14, "And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Savior sent the Son as the Savior of the world." We need the Savior. We need the Christ. We need an advocate with God. Jesus is your advocate with God. He is real. He exists. Hebrews 7:25 says that he's able to save the uttermost, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for you. You got to believe that. Believe in the Christ. 1 John 2:1-2. "My little children, these things are right to you so that you may not sin." The word of God is written that you might not sin. Take it with you. Take God's word with you. "And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the propitiation for our sins, not only ours, but also for the whole world." Nobody's different. We all sin and fall short of God's glory. Take his word with you. Take it with you so that you may not sin. That's what it says. Because the Christ is our only hope, and he's our life. Colossians 3:4 says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Is that where you want to be? 1 Corinthians 15:19. "If only for this life we hope in Christ, we have all to be most pitied." We hope in Christ, and the world pities us for that. Isn't it incredible that we are in a position in our lives where God will give us the desires of our hearts, and we throw that to the curb, just like the prodigal son? He was ready to leave home. "Give me everything I got. I'm graduating now. Give it to me." And he went right out there in the world and he forgot about the Father. You know what? What's the phrase that I've grew up with all my life? And it still rings true. People always tell you, never forget where you. The prodigal son didn't forget, but the world had taken him over. He was sucked in by the world. And when he found out that he was drained spiritually and didn't have the Father in his life, the Bible says he came to his senses. And I want you to have your senses with you before you leave, while you're there, and when you come back. He came to his senses. You know what? He decided he's going to go back home to the Father. And you can come back home. You can always come back home. I tell my children all the time, you can come back, you can eat, but you can't stay. But come on back. We need God more than anything else in our lives. We need to know that we have a home in Christ. You know that the church will welcome us wherever we go. It's a wonderful thing as a Christian to experience just leaving the area that you live in and going to another area, and there are members of the church there who welcome you like they've known you all their lives. That's incredible. It's important to know that wherever you go, you have brothers and sisters in Christ that will welcome you with open arms. You're there. And I got to tell you, if you need to call me, you know my number. I'll give it to you now, 504-462-1962. Sometimes you can't talk to your parents. Sometimes they don't want to talk to you. That's real. Call me. Call me. I'll talk to you. I hear everything you got to say. Yeah. And then I'm going to call your parents after that. I want to tell you, don't graduate from heaven. Don't do it. There are a lot of things that you might miss out on life. You know, I missed that party. You're going to miss out on a lot of things in your life, but you're going to survive that. But you cannot compromise missing out on heaven. Don't graduate from heaven. Don't do it. Set your sights and your mind on heaven. Colossians 3 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is. See that the right hand of God, set your minds on things above, not on these earthly things, because they're temporary. Temporary. We need to long for Jesus every day of our lives. Graduates and those who've graduated, kids and adults, we need to long for Jesus return every day of our lives. Because our citizenship, Philippians 3, is in heaven, and we eagerly await the Savior from there, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are to live in such a way that heaven will be our eternal home. That's our goal. That's our goal. Heaven. Heaven. 2 Peter 1, 10 through 11 says this. Therefore, brethren, you be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. You make every effort to know that you are serving God the way that he called you to serve him. Because if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord. Isn't that wonderful? And Savior Jesus Christ, it's time for you to make a decision of where you're going, where you want to be, how you're going to do it, and when you're going to do it. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We don't have a choice for that. We're all going to be there. And me? I don't want to be in that long line. Not me. I want to be taken up in the blinking of an eye. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in our body according to what he has done, whether it's good or bad. I want to tell you that this is a wonderful time to celebrate. It really is. For parents as well as those who are graduating. It's a season of milestones for many of you. But you be very careful not to allow this new endeavor to succeed in blinding you to the reality that is in Christ. Don't walk away from your teaching as a child in Christ. Don't do it. I got to tell you, I didn't have that advantage. I didn't grow up, you know, under the influence of the Church of Christ. I didn't do that. I grew up under the influence of the world and half-hearted, godly thinking. Went to the chapel, wasn't the church, right? Campus ministry wasn't the church. Nah. As Sunday morning came for me, I was not a Christian, didn't even think about it. But that's not you. That's not you, Christian brother and sister that's graduating. That's not you. It's time for you to decide right now what you're going to do when that Saturday night passes and you wake up that Sunday morning. And parents, it's time for you to decide, make up your mind, that you're going to take them and show them the way. I want you to be very careful in how you tread in your new endeavor. We're looking for successes, but we're looking for spiritual successes as well. And you can have those blessings that come from God. Titus chapter 2, 11 through 13 says this: "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age." You're leaving home. Take Titus 2, 11 and 13 with you. Deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Temptation is out there for you. Satan is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. And you on his menu too. We're not exempt. But one thing I want you to know is, he also says, James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So you got to resist him. He's coming. And we've got to prepare our children to know how to recognize that temptation and resist it. We're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. We're looking for him. So I'm happy that you're graduating, but don't graduate into the streets, because it's out there for you. The psalmist said in Psalm 143 and verse number 8, it's not on the board. He says, "Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning." You know that Saturday night, Sunday morning. "Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk." Isn't that a wonderful mantra? He says, "For I lift up my soul to you." So I'm congratulating you for finishing all those things that you set out to do. I thought I'd never get out of high school. I thought 12 years was a long time. I've been out 3 times more than that now. Incredible. The time is not going to wait for you. So the time for you now is to decide what it is that you're going to do before you get to that point in your life. You can do it. You're smart enough to do it. You're wise enough to do it. You've got parents and the church to back you up to help you to do it. Tap into those resources. Tap into God. Continue to serve God when you leave home. Leave school. But don't decide to leave what truly matters to you, because salvation is ours as God waits upon each and every one of us. And for those of you who are adults who've walked away from God, who graduated out there in those streets, come on back. You know it isn't making any sense to you. You're not making any headway in anything at all. As a matter of fact, you're suffering every day that you don't return back to Christ. Because if Christ returns right now, if he busts those double doors wide open right now, what are you going to do? What will your fate be? It's easy to fall into the tempter's snare. But you have the church. You have your brothers and sisters to pray for you, to help you to be free from sin and evil. You can't do it alone. The burden's too much for you to bear. That's why Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart." He says, "Give me the burden. Give it to me. You can't carry sin. Give it to me. I got that." And he calls us to understand that and to repent of our sins and to confess Christ as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to leave those beggarly elements of the world and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Baptized into the church by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. and live faithful until the end. If we can help you do that today, won't you come to stand and sing God's invitation song?
God sent his son. They called him Jesus.
We leave one to graduate from the streets and come to Christ. Will you render your heart to God this morning? Salvation is yours if you will just endeavor to take it. Would there be one to come?
Do God my pardon and if he great is there to prove my Savior live. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, he lives.